when we talk about Borges, you say that one of the similarities between him and the Baroque poet Queirado is the very act of thinking as an act of language. I'm reminded of William Carlos Williams, who, when he wanted to know what he thought, he wrote. And there was a deeper intelligence that he could recognize in the writing than in his own conscious thoughts. I mean, when it got down to the paper, that act of doing that allowed him to think on a deeper level or to get in touch with entities that were larger than himself. Can you elaborate on that notion, the very act of thinking as an act of language?
When we talk about language and literature, what I'm reminded of is this concept of, and going back to our political situation right now, I'm reminded of this idea by Donna Haraway that grammar is politics by other means. So writing could be a way of anchoring power, just perpetuating power, or it could be a revolutionary, disruptive force. Mm-hmm. So the way I understand thinking and writing and language is that how do we disrupt the political, the oppressive nature of language? How do we disrupt that nature from inside language itself? And that's also what I understand as Baroque or neo-Baroque, ways of disrupting the oppressive nature of language. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting when you talk about grammar in that way. I'm reminded... You know, I worked for NPR for 7 years, and there is a segment of that audience, when you use improper grammar, they're going to call up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't say, can I have a Coke? It's, may I have a Coke? You know, that yes. little things like yes. that. I mean, yes. you know exactly what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And these people referred to as grammar Nazis. Mm-hmm. So here the two threads are coming yes. together again. Yes. But it's interesting, those people who need to control that and need for you to conform to their notion of how one must communicate. So that's... That's a neo-fascism in itself.
Yeah, right? But when we say grammar, when I say grammar, when Donna Haraway says grammar, she means something, you know, broader than that. Mm-hmm. It means just the impossibility of thinking outside of language and how actually language, we don't communicate through language. Language communicates through us. So how we disrupt that dynamic? And poetry, you know more than me, poetry is the way to do that.
Can be a way to do that.
Yeah.
Well, when it's done right, mm-hmm. it allows us to have a deeper meaning than what the words might communicate with a tone or, you know, with metaphor. This is another, with irony, this is another thing. Metaphor is a sense of distortion in your way of putting it. But there's a difference. Ramon Gomez de la Serna thinks of this neo-Baroque act of distortion as to when metaphors are correct, they become... Little Flowers of the Ages, mm-hmm. which is a subtitle or a title of one of your subchapters. Can you elaborate on what he was talking about?
Yeah, again, because a device like metaphor can bring about or can be an expression of two completely different worldviews. A metaphor, what is a metaphor? A metaphor is this transposition. It's a device that is telling us this is that. So by that dynamic, this is that, you maybe deciphering the world, you can be telling me this is actually that. You can be reading the world. Or you can be showing me that the world has no underlying connections or underlying meaning. So in the case of Gomez de la Serna, no, he is one of those who think that the metaphor will show us a path towards understanding the world.
Uh-huh. Humor plus metaphor equals greguerías.
Greguerías.
Right.
And there is one that I love. I don't know if I can translate this into English. It's ¿Cómo deshacerse del pulpo haciéndole cosquillas? How do you get rid of the octopus? By tickling him.
Nothing forgets us as quickly as a bar stool, for instance. And, you know, when you think of that, I mean, people hear that because I used it as an epigraph for one mm-hmm. of my Jaibun de la Serna, and people hear that, and they get that,
yeah.
you know, how empty that experience is,
yes.
and how it doesn't matter. If you're not at the bar putting money down, you're irrelevant, which is fascinating to boil people down to that very little insignificant.
Yeah. And there is a level at where, you know, I keep saying there is no truth, there is no reality, but of course there is a local level at which we find truth. For example, the bar stool that forgets us, that's true. or how do we get rid of the octopus by tickling him? That's true.
But you be the one who tickled him.